Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here with his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. Coming to you Wednesday, January 6th. You know what? One, two more days before you can't say Happy New Year to people. I think, is it different in person than it is in email? I'm good.
I think you can go till February.
No.
Oh, come on.
Too late. Really?
You hear me? I mean, you could also tell me it was October 30th, and I'd be like, okay.
It's not, Charlotte. I mean,
well, I have no idea.
Well, look on your phone. It'll be on your phone, on your computer, all these
things.
My
phone says June 8th. So,
oh, wow. Interesting.
One thing that that is not negotiable for me, as I say, yeah. I am not a pre-Christmas Scrooge about when you want to start playing the music, play it. You know, if you want to start in October, that's your business. I'm not going to get in your way. However, by Sunday night past, as soon as the last Sunday night after New Year's comes and goes, you cannot air any commercials that are Christmas themed. You need to take your tree down, get your lights down. It's worth, when I see a company do an ad that has some Christmas flavor to it, I resent it more than I'm sure Browns fans do after the Browns are out of the playoffs and Baker Mayfield is still doing the commercials.
Interesting. I don't see the Christmas ads that much. I don't see them. The lights are tough. It's a physical, it's hard to get, because I can't do it myself. We have to hire somebody. So
in the Northeast, though, it's so dark still that the lights are kind of nice. I don't mind the lights. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just like, God, this is just Depression City.
Speaking of Depression City, we asked for New Year's resolutions for us from our listeners. We said they could email us at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. I didn't see any that were even worth reading. I mean, some were like, talk less, talk more, pick more winners, win your parlay more. Some said we should meet in person. Sure, of course, for the new year. That would be nice if everyone met in person. But I got to tell you, I'm going on my own. I'm taking my own resolution. It's two-part, and it has to do with texting. You guys on a lot of text chains? Mm-hmm. You guys on chains, right? Do you check if you say something funny in a text chain, and then, you know, you see a ha-ha, or an exclamation point or a thumbs up, do you then go and check to see who thumbs up you or ha-ha'd you or exclamation point? You do. Dave, do you?
Not on text properly. I definitely do that on social media more to see who are the people liking it. Yes.
I'm going to stop looking. I'm going to stop. I think it's very sad to check. Like, okay, wait, who gave me the ha-ha here? Oh, was it Jimmy or was it Daniel? Oh, it was only Daniel. All right. I don't know. I don't know what it buys us. And I know the whole thing, social media and everything is like based on getting affirmation, but I'm cutting that part out of it.
Text change, you're not like not.
I think
on social
so.
Media.
I think I waste a lot of time going through and clicking. Okay. And sometimes I click it and I'm almost going to give a thumbs up to myself. And I'm like, oh boy. I hope I don't click that wrong. Like,
it's really dangerous.
Just let it go. It's fine. You have friends. They love you or they don't, whatever. The second part is I am going to supply a question mark to a lot of people's texts. Because I think it's
that is diabolical. Yes. That is the most Sal resolution I've ever. I'm gonna fuck with biscuits. My language. Beep that like, out, too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm picking up dinner at 7. Question mark? What? What could be up in the air about that? I'm telling you, I'm picking up dinner at 7. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna keep doing it. I think it's worse. I think it's more insulting than a thumbs down, even. I get thumbs down from people.
Yeah, it makes people nervous. It's mean.
Exactly. Really? I have to explain myself? So question marks galore if you get
it. I like you, Sal, and that's why I'm going to tell you this. I think that's a fun scoundrel move. Yes. But the only thing I worry about for you is that you're really putting it on yourself. It's the same as like a well-intentioned mother. I've talked to Brandon Cooks about this as a for instance. Mm. I like... Let's differentiate you, Brandon, just enough. We're not going to spell it with the standard O at the end. Mm. We're going to put an I in there. And it's like, oh, see, now you're unique. Except that now Brandon has spent, you know, an inordinate number of seconds.
Now he has to stay with it.
Well, now he's always got to explain. No, it's not with an O. It's with an I. And add up all those conversations over the course of a lifetime. That's like 25, 30 minutes worth of life.
I get it, but I'm saving time. I'm saving time because I'm now not going back and checking to see who thumbs up me.
What does Brandon Cook's name have to do with question marks on text messages?
Because then he's gonna, because now he's gonna get a follow up from whoever question marked him. Like, why did you just ask, what question mark what? Like, it was this, and then, well, and then he's gonna have extra back and forth. That's gonna consume precious seconds that you have on the big blue marble here.
But I have that in the budget now because I'm not going back. And by the way, ironically, Charlotte just question marked your follow up to my point, so that's good.
I did
question mark. We need answers. That's the thing.
Circle complete.
Do you know how nervous it's going to make me when I when you ask me for my parlay choice and you and I tell you, you and you respond to the question mark?
I love it.
I'm like, I'm taking the over on Colts Bills and you're like, question mark?
You know, it's my LOL, I guess. You know, right? I don't know. What's the difference? Hey, I guess there is sports going on aside from texting and text preferences. Devontae Smith is the winner of the 2020 Heisman Trophy Award. Wide receiver, stellar numbers, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, number one in all the land. He beat out Kyle Trask. He beat out Mac Jones. He beat out, who am I thinking? Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, who ended up second in votes, which means had he played one more game, I think he would have won the award. But it wasn't the case. Devontae Smith wins. I get into a crazy argument. First of all, should a receiver, Dave, I feel like you have a strong opinion on this, be eligible for the Heisman Trophy Award?
Certainly, yeah. When you put up gargantuan numbers, yeah, of course he should be able to win the Heisman Trophy. But yes, proceed with your line of questioning.
Well, no, so with that said, if you think that he is eligible, and I think he is, if you're number one in those major stats categories, what more can you do going into a season? Say, hey, I want to be the number one wide receiver. I want to dwarf all the other wide receiver numbers. Okay, if I do that, will I win the Heisman Trophy? Sure, go ahead and do it. Well, he did it. And there's a lot of chatter about how only a quarterback should win this because there are fewer quarterbacks. Receiver isn't anything without the quarterback. I know, you roll your eyes. I go at it with Clay Travis. He said so many more horrible things than this, but this is the kind of thing I was like. And then secondly, he says, well, if you compare his receiving numbers with this guy, Jaylen Waddle, who might now play in the championship game, they were neck and neck, or Waddle's was a little better before Waddle got hurt. So he should not be out. I'm like, really? Now we have to look back at everybody, how they got to where they are? Lou Gehrig should not be in the Hall of Fame
because
Holly Tipp got injured?
Take away Kurt Warner's MVP and Hall of Fame jacket 99 on because Trent Green's knee got, because it wouldn't happen if
of all the asinine takes, and this one isn't dangerous, so it's good, but Justin Herbert should not win Offensive Rookie of the Year because Ty Taylor was on track to be the starting quarterback. Where does this end? You just have to go back.
That's the most stupid. That's like so dumb it makes me angry. First of all, it's not called the quarterback award. It's called the Heisman. So if you're the best at what you do, and if you're setting records at Alabama, I'm sorry. Like, it's the best of the best. He had that iconic catch in 2018. He, like, there's history here. I don't see how, like, he had the best suit. I mean, come on. Like, I don't
that
think
factors
that,
in. Yeah.
I hate when people say, oh, it makes me so angry when people say, like, oh, well, you know, a wide receiver shouldn't win it. Then call it something else. Call it the quarterback award. Yeah. Because what are we, it's like saying a running back like Derrick Henry should never win MVP. Like, okay, well, then call it the quarterback award. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, this is a 3 on the scale of the infuriating takes that I have to deal with that individual. But in fact,
but in terms of strictly sports things now, that really grinds my gears.
In strictly sports gears, if he had texted it to me, I'd hit him with 7 question marks, I think, because I don't really understand it at all. But yes, a wide receiver should be allowed to win, for God's sake.
Of course. Well, I legitimately do not follow the logic that, as you just portrayed it, at least. I didn't understand what the argument would be against it. But it does remind me, as an old, as soon as they announced wide receiver, you knew that it was likely that Devontae was going to win the award. But as soon as he did, it reminded me of 1987, when it really bridges the gap from one era of media into this one, which is when we were growing up, Sal, and Charlotte, you complete, and Eddie Spaghetti and Joel and Jim, you guys completely missed this window of like you used to only see highlights of guys. If it wasn't on your TV in the moment, yeah. you just flat out didn't see what these guys looked like. And so Notre Dame kind of guys won an inordinate number of awards because they were on TV more and you would see their highlights. And Tim Brown returned. He happened to return two punts for touchdowns against Michigan State one night early in the season. Mm-hmm. He had no business winning the Heisman Trophy. That is a vexing wide receiver award, but it did remind me of how different things have been, how much they've changed in 30 years now since we started watching sports. We now have all the evidence in the world to weigh in on this. I just found that interesting. But as a side note, this Heisman, six games worth, whatever, of evidence. The other thing it reminds me of, the Heisman still has allure because of the cool trophy and the name. And it's weird that we debate and have debated for 17 weeks now who's the NFL MVP and everything else, but it has a little less luster because it has no name. We must resolve to name and create the right trophy for a legend of pro football, because then it'll have some more heft to it.
The Lombardi, I feel like, though.
Yeah. I feel like, though, no matter what you do, the Heisman is always going to have more because it has more it has more bearing on their future in a significant way, I feel like, than, you know, MVP is like a nice feather in your cap if you're already in the NFL. But the Heisman can really raise your draft stock. It feels like in a league where they're not compensated, this is sort of the biggest honor you can get, you know. But I mean, I'm not against naming it. I just think that it might not just be the name.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think it's predictive of anything as Jason White hovering over Chris Fowler's shoulder for an hour proves, and Eric Crouch and otherwise. But yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm talking more about the most popular sport in North America and the best player in that sport. And he just gets like, yeah, he's the MVP. And you couldn't tell me who won the MVP 5 years ago, but you could tell me who won the Heisman 5 years ago because it has a cool trophy that goes with it. We need to come up with a cool trophy and a cool name for it.
Well, if someone's just going to put it in their car and just leave it for a lot, you know, but why come up with go through the trouble of putting a good name on it and everything? But I know what you're saying.
Touché.
Know what I think the MVP trophy should be for the NFL? It should be just a surfer guy going like throwing up the hang 10. Cause like, that's a cool thing. Like, how funny would it be if you win the MVP and you're just holding like a guy in sunglasses, a bronze like guy in board shorts and sunglasses.
That's
and
good.
He's just like, congrats, you're the MVP.
No, it's not a guy. It's Charlotte Wilder. From now on,
me.
That's the trophy. Charlotte Wilder.
I'm the guy.
Maybe your hair's in a bun or something. Yeah.
Well, the bronze, it's just like flowing.
That's right. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. A Spicoli kind of thing. Well, if you have any ideas on this, theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Hit us up with your idea for MVP in the NFL. If we give it a name, we give it a shape or something. Yes, I agree with Dave. I thought I knew the answer to this once. John Heisman was not the first to win the MVP college award, right?
As Jay Berwanger.
There you go. Okay. And it was because this Heisman.
I think he went to University of Chicago or some football powerhouse like that.
So it's interesting. There's a Naismith Award for the guy who invented basketball. Heisman, you would think it would be because of the first winner of this award. Could you just name the MVP for the NFL for the first player to win it?
You could.
Let me look that up. Yeah. No, good.
Red Grange, Sammy Baugh. See, that's what we need to get away from. I know that this is one of my things of like, who cares what happened in 1947 in pro football when it didn't matter. But there's already a Unitas Award, so you can't do that. And
I mean, Jim Brown seems to have won it first time. It says disputed award winners. I don't know. I mean, now this is like an Associated Press Award, right?
Let's call it the Superstar MVP Award.
Well, that's pretty good. Superstar Surfer Award. Yeah. Jim Brown won a couple times. Shared it 1 year. Then, yes, Dave Unitas. And then AP was Paul Hornig was the first.
Call it the Lozman Award.
DJ. Right. Set the bar real low. Yeah.
That's
and anything
good.
Above that, you feel good about yourself. I've asked a bunch of pro football players this question, and a crazy amount of them say it should be Ray Lewis, which then makes me lose my interest in it. when they keep saying Ray Lewis, I'm like, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like, really? Okay.
I don't think Raj is going to embrace that one. But then again, I don't know. But yes, the Peyton, the Favre, the Rodgers, yeah. you know, like, yeah, the, yeah. like the, these guys, because again, another thing is I think Joe Montana already has an award named after him. That's the other thing is you can't, it's got to be somebody. I'm pretty sure, I forget what it is, but I think he does like the Marino, you know, it likely is a QB.
Let's just call it the OJ and move on.
Perfect.
You beat me to the joke. So.
Yeah, you get a bronze Bronco. Everybody wins. With that college
the
game,
Orenthal, the 2023 Orenthal goes to.
Yeah. Bama, 8.5 over Ohio State, 74.5. That number's gone up now. It was 7.5, now 8.5. There's COVID concerns on Ohio State side. There's talk about moving this game. They could move it. It doesn't really matter. It's the last game, right? It's scheduled for this Monday. But moving it means that Jalen Waddle will definitely start if they moved it like a week. But it also might save Justin Fields, who has rib injuries, not unlike Drew Brees. So interesting.
You see
what
Nick Saban's daughter tweeted about that?
Yeah, she's going crazy about this.
Yeah, she was like, oh, using COVID to give your quarterback time to heal when Waddle was out for us all season. And then she got dunked on so hard that she not only deleted the tweet, she deleted her entire Twitter account.
She's out? Wow. She got a lot of question marks, huh? That's
it.
Oh, my
God. Well, really,
she's not careful. We won't use her as the model on the surfboard at the MVP
She was also sued by, and I forgot about this. I saw this morning. In 2014, she got into a fight with her ex-best friend sorority sister, and it got physical, and she got sued, and a judge threw it out because he said it was a defend your ground.
Stand
your ground. Yeah.
What state was this?
She seems like a little bit of, Alabama.
Yeah, that sounds right. And she won the fight, right? I think I heard this too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was my fun little rabbit hole this morning.
Awesome.
By the way, give me Bama -8.5. That feels a little low. And the big message to take away from the last several days is just stay. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to go into the state of Ohio, but now all evidence points to just avoid that state. It's between the Buckeyes and the Browns and otherwise. What business do you have there? It better be important.
I don't know if we could throw darts or no one's even allowed in our county, I don't think, anymore, Dave. But that's for health reasons, I think. Well, let's talk about some of this COVID stuff. Steelers, Browns. That line is 6 now, Dave. It opened like at 3.5, 4, went up to 4.5. And then with the news yesterday that Coach Stefanski and two, I forgot, how did they word it? Major players. It ended up not being major players. It's not Baker. It's not Chubb. It's not Landry. But still, well, substantial. No, I get it. It's a big thing. And also, it's not the end. Anyway, that line is up to 6. The Browns were caught drag racing. Two of them were cited for drag racing yesterday. You have something on the Charlotte? It just seems like they can't get out of their own way, right?
I have a lot of thoughts on the drag racing. As a Steelers fan, Dave, I want to know how you feel about the COVID stuff. I feel like in the playoffs, if your head coach is out, maybe there's a possibility you push a game, because I think this is when it starts to feel more asterisk-y. It's like, okay, well, is this when it's going to actually, are we going to look back and be like, oh, that was a fair season, they had a fair shake when Kevin Stefanski is out with the virus? Like, to me, it seems like not integrity of the game, because I think that's garbage, but like integrity of the season in terms of making it as fair as you can in a global pandemic, maybe you think about waiting. What do you think? I don't know.
I mean, I just don't know. I keep hearing about the league saying that as of now, they're not going to move this game, but move it to where? Like where
you can only move it to Tuesday at the latest, right?
Yeah,
they can't really screw it.
Well, talk about integrity going forward of it. You know, I'm with Charlotte too. We should choose a better word than integrity of the game, but it's self-righteous or something. It's the language of the people who reside up on Mount Pius. But I don't know where properly. I don't, if they moved it to Monday and it's a playoff game, and then the Steelers or Browns would have to turn around and talk about unfair.
Yeah,
I'm completely with you. Unless you delay the week, though, and then the problem is beyond that. Again, as we keep talking about, as they keep kicking the can down the road, and successfully, I guess, to this point, is this assumes that this would be the last instance of it for the rest of January. Right. And so if you start doing that, like, hey, we're going to, guess what, teams? Point. We're taking the whole week off because the Browns got COVID. So now we're just going to delay the whole playoffs. Like, well, then isn't that going to open up other teams to go out and bring it into there? So anyway, yeah. No, I just don't think you can.
It sucks so much.
I mean, as bad as it is to not have your head coach, it's going to be even worse. It was one thing for the Broncos to have to play a practice squad wide receiver in an NFL game. If you had to do that in a, it really then would injure the look of the whole playoff structure. But you know, I also think Kevin Stefanski, for the good of his profession, needs to just make sure that the team loses here. If they lose, if you don't need a head coach on the field for a game, then why are they making so much money? Then like, he's really
remember when Hugh Freeze coached from the hospital bed.
Well, that's one thing. Why can't they? We'll get into that. But yes, you're right, Dave. There are some games when Steve Kerr has back issues and can't make it for the trip or whatever, and Golden State wins by 30. It's like, oh, wow. And even Steve Kerr himself, like, you barely need to coach this team, you know? But football seems different. Can you put them in a bubble, in an actual bubble on the sideline, and let him coach? Could you?
Could he do it from home? 77. Yeah, he theoretically could. I don't understand what the purpose of that is. Is it incentivizing bad behavior? Is that why they don't want to create to allow?
I guess they've determined that it's bad behavior. Yeah, but if
the Browns win, isn't that Wally Pipping the entire profession of coaching?
No, because I think you could argue that he's set them up for success enough, or they know enough what to do. If this happened in week two week two through four and they just kept winning without him, it'd be like, oh, okay. But I feel like into the playoffs, if you could say that he's already ingrained something in the team, or he's set them up for success enough that I think one game, I don't think.
Game plan half the first quarter or something. I don't know. It's tough, but would you have trouble with this guy coaching from home, or is it such an advantage to have the TV broadcast?
I don't know. I don't know what the measure is. I assume it's COVID rules that it's bad that we can't have a guy like that on the sideline or up in a booth whatever.
Didn't they rule the Browns wasn't it Farmer couldn't coach from the sideline a few years? What was that whole thing? Like
there some competitive advantage that I think you gain from having your laptop or what? I don't know would you have, or you have a blue ribbon panel of ex head coaches surrounding you, Mike Shanahan.
You have offensive coaches in the booth and everything, right? Like they're off somewhere else too. Like I don't know. It's a little weird.
I'm surprised though, Sal, that the line doesn't move more. That it's only worth basically. So it went from, I think it was 3.5, and it moved to 5. Right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the reaction in point spread?
I think that's what happened.
A point and a half or two, you're losing a significant. I mean, I know it's not Baker Mayfield going down or Nick Chubb, but still, it's Joe Bitonio, who's their best offensive lineman, and the Steelers' position of strength happens to be their defensive front. So, and the head coach. So that's only worth a point and a half or two.
I think that we talk about key numbers, and they don't want to move it to 7 because then all the sharps will lay on the Browns. They're like, oh, 7 is near and dear to you too. But 7 points is a substantial number, so they raised it a point and a half, and then even then it only got bet up to 6. And so there's no reason, if people aren't betting the Browns right now, there's no reason to make it 7, right? Or betting the Steelers, right? So right now it stays at 6. Joel Solomon, again, he likes to joke with these things, but he's now texting me that tests on the rest of the Browns players came back negative this morning. The game is on for Sunday night. So it'll probably remain around 6. But the bigger point I think here is, can the Browns have success? Maybe they just can't have success. Maybe this is just a joke. They get close. Dave, we have friends that sabotage themselves as soon as they get a whiff of success. And we won't mention names, but they kind of, they're like, oh, that's it. I can't have it. And then they do something stupid. It's like, yeah, we're going to take that development deal away from you or whatever it is. But is that what happens with the Browns? They haven't made the playoffs in 18 years. We can't win a playoff game. That would put us in a different echelon there.
It's a very interesting spot for the Browns because you see teams react or play differently in the playoffs when it's like we have a devil may care attitude. The standard is lower in Cleveland than it is in, as for instance, Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and then expand beyond just the AFC North teams. But, you know, the Ravens and Steelers, like, it's going to be disappointing for either one of them if they're at minimum not playing in the conference title game. The Browns made the playoffs. Let's throw a parade, everybody. So, you know, they're celebrating that lower bar of success, but also having that devil may care attitude. No one expects us. You're starting to get into this territory of no one outside this locker room believes in us. And that's when teams get dangerous, Sal. You know that it is also kind of like, it does have that vibe, though, of instead of it being a boat 4 or 5 years ago for the Giants, let's just put all these guys in a drag race car.
Because this could be the
2021 version of that.
I have thoughts on this.
I just want to remember, the drag racing, two Browns were caught drag racing. They were cited yesterday morning. Rashard Higgins posted on Twitter that his foot slipped in regard to the drag racing citation. Before deleting the tweet, he also posted that he was trying to get away from COVID, and then he deleted that tweet as well. See, this is what I mean. This makes you think they're really trying to sabotage
a
potential successful situation here.
Here's what I think. It was 9:30 in the morning. It was 10 miles away from the stadium. It was two guys. They probably just pulled up next to each other at a stoplight and were like, oh, you're going to practice too, and started messing around. There happened to be a cop there. I don't think it would, like, drag racing is a fancy way to say, like, racing your friend to practice, I think. Right. I think it's stupid that people are turning this into such a big deal, because I would mess around like that. I would do something stupid. Like, and the fact saying trying to get away from COVID, like, just, I feel like so many people are using dark humor this year.
Sure,
and then to get mad at a player for, like, doing that when I just don't think it means anything. I think it's so funny that people are like, oh, they were drag racing. It's not like they were out, you know, holding a rally with like 15 guys. It was two guys going to pray. It was 9:30 in the morning. Like, you know, whatever.
You're no fun, Wilder. I'm
saying that I'm fun, which is why I don't think you can get mad at this.
It's outraged.
You're not fun.
I'm mostly joking here, but it is weird when it all adds up. It's like, oh my God, the Browns are just not
I'll give you that.
They're not going to get there. Like, what happens today? We'll find out something weird today here. Anyway, that number ends at 6. Dave, gun to your head. It's looking more like a Steelers blowout now.
Why put that on them? That's not
because
fair.
Now it's like, oh, that makes sense. Yes, the Browns are just happy to
get. I'm glad it makes sense for you, but let's not talk about that. I'm more intrigued. I want to make a big call for you right now.
Yeah,
I have already told you. I know I don't want to spoiler alert Friday's extra points episode or -3 or anything else, but I have two things I want to tell you. One, Baltimore is winning that game and they're going to cover the points. In Nashville. One
down to 3 on the road, given it's a rich 3-point favorite
I liked it at 3.5, so obviously I like it at 3. And two, and even bigger news, and people will say, oh, this is crazy. And I, you know, but listen, I think I'm on record as rooting for the Bills. The Colts are going to beat them. The Colts are going to go into Buffalo and vanquish the Bills here. Straight up. That's what's going to happen.
I don't like it. I don't know.
Colts to cover, but I don't think they're going to win.
I think they get smoked. I really do. I'm up all over Buffalo at +750 to win the Super Bowl. I think there's value in there. I mean, 3 30-point wins in a row. There's not anything to not like about. Look, with the Colts, your team was left for dead, Dave. They played a month of bad, bad football. The Colts let them back in. The Colts had a 2014 lead last week against the Jaguars, who had nothing to play for. Jaguars had the ball. They almost won. They take like half a game off. I get it on paper. Jonathan Taylor's your January back and everything. And defensively, they come up with big stops. But
the way they're constructed just works in the 21st century. I know the reason people don't believe in them is because of Phil Rivers. That is the issue with them. And of course, they're getting got on the back end defensively too, which is why I don't like Tennessee. But so, you know, paradoxically, I'm riding with the Colts here. But I really do like that. You know, it's funny. People couldn't see Derrick Henry coming and vanquishing the Ravens a year ago, and now mm-hmm. we're in the same. Well, look out for Derrick Henry, what he's going to do. That was last year. This year, it's Jonathan Taylor behind that offensive line. He's going to be able to bang up that Bills defense, I think.
I don't think it's not Derrick Henry, though.
I think they're going to silence him. I think they're going to focus on that. Let the Ravens let their secondary handle Ryan Tannehill, and that will be that story. That's why I'm taking the Ravens. I keep saying it. I know, but I really like the Ravens defense.
We'll get into this more on Friday. We're jumping back and forth. I would say you're right about the way Indianapolis is built, but I think they're going to be down 14-0, and then it's all Phil Rivers. So.
I mean, if they get jumped like that, yeah. I mean, obviously that throws a lot of stuff out of the window. Yeah. I do want to say one thing very quickly, that a recurring theme again from your pal Dave, is that all the conspiracy theories about the steal, what's wrong with Roethlisberger, he's got a bad elbow, he's gotten too old, he can't play anymore. I feel validated. I think I was right. I'm not positive, but I think I was right. That he just decided at some point when they reached a certain point in the season, we're obviously going to make the playoffs. We're very likely to have home field. Maybe they overestimated how safe they were and had to scratch and claw to get the division crown. But I think that at some point Roethlisberger was like, I am 38. I cannot take unlimited contact every game. I just have to get rid of the ball, get me to the playoffs, and then I'm going to cut it loose. Witness how he played in that second half against the Colts. There's nothing wrong. He can still move. He still can throw the ball downfield. He still has, one of the better whips going in pro football. And I just think he made a calculated choice, and the organization rolled with him. Like, yeah, well, okay, we get you, Roethlisberger. You're our puncher's chance, especially without Devin Bush and Bud Dupree. We will win games largely because of what you do in January. So we're going to take a step back in the short term to have you as fresh and ready to roll as possible.
But what else could it be?
And I think that's right.
I mean, of course it's got to be there. I mean, maybe it's elbow, not exactly knee. How you laid it out, but, well, the elbow did not miraculously come back to life in the fourth quarter against the Colts, right? So I think it has
that's
to
my
be
point.
Something
that's
similar
what everybody was
to
saying.
What you think. Like, but the question is whether he was holding them back or the coaching staff was holding them back, right? It might have been both. Because of it. But it has to be that. I mean, I'm interested to see where the Steelers offense, does it pick up where it left off against the Colts? One more thing. I mean, we can go over all these games. We'll hit them Friday even harder. Rams, Seahawks. Seahawks are 3.5-point favorite. We have to see this again a third time now for wild card weekend. Sean McVay will not reveal who the quarterback is. Is it John Walford, or is it Jared Goff? I mean, he's very revealing. We saw him in Hard Knocks. He revealed those nipples. He had no problem, right, taking his shirt off. But he won't tell us on a Wednesday who the quarterback is.
That's how he's going to do it. He, in a press conference, he's going to write the starter on his chest and take his shirt off.
Anything is good. But I think if you're a Rams fan or a Rams backer, I think we can cut the crap with we want the John Walford in there. You want Jared Goff in there. You just do. The guy's taking them to a Super Bowl. You don't want to have to worry about it. He did fine, Walford, last week. He beat the Cardinals, a game they needed to win. They didn't really have it in hand until the fourth quarter, but you can't blame him. He did fine. You don't want to deal with one quarter, a half of butterflies, which these rookie quarterbacks or these young quarterbacks would have to go through. Put Jared Goff in there. He didn't light it up in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, but he's got playoff experience. Obviously, you know the ceiling and the what's the other part? The basement of what his numbers might provide.
What's the other part?
Hold on. Eddie Murphy, you're in the basement, right? Eddie Spaghetti? I can't figure it out. Jared Goff's your guy if he can go. Am I right?
I hear, obviously, what you're saying. If you one, they're not going to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. It now feels like, it felt like maybe 6-8 weeks ago, like, wow, I think we're ignoring with what Cam Akers is doing, and if Whitworth comes back and as good as the defense, there is a ceiling on them, and his name is Jared Goff. And in some weird way, ironically, now you want to protect that fact going into this offseason because you overcommitted to him, and now you open yourself, if Jared Goff goes out there, especially a diminished Jared Goff with the JPP hand trying to win you a playoff game, I think that, it buys Jared Goff an offseason of a little less scrutiny. But you're I guess in the that's playoffs. Unavoidable.
You
at gotta this
try
point.
To win. You no, can't I say know, they're I not winning. At some point, when you get to the playoffs, you can't be like, ah, they're not winning the Super Bowl. You're
no, I few, know. You're few right. Games away. I'm just He's trying to make gonna... sense of it. Like what, where my mindset would be if I were a Rams fan right now, I would be like, you know, just start Jared.
I know, but he doesn't give you the best chance to win. I get it.
No, you're right. I know you're right, certainly.
I think he won't Goff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what you're getting with him, and I get it. You got Aaron Rodgers you have to get by. You have Russell Wilson. He's not going to raise his level to those, but goddamn, neither is John Wolford. I just know he's not. Put Goff in there. Stop with this nonsense if he's ready to go.
I'm just saying that if you're the Rams, if as an organization, and again after the last few days of the mm-hmm. way the Eagles played Week 17 and all that kind of stuff, if you're an organization and you transcend just the upcoming 60 minutes, I guess you follow my point on that.
Yeah,
that
I
it's
do.
Just kind of it's just a bad look if you this guy who's making all this coin for you, and I mean even without a bum hand, but now he has the bum hand. He goes out there and stinks it up. It's just an embarrassment. I'm not saying that that will be how Sean McVay makes the decision. I'm just saying coming out of that game, if it's Wolford who loses it you at least have a ready-made excuse for the offseason
yeah.
as opposed to, you know, like, yeah, you're right. Goff stinks. Goff is what limits us.
The backup kind of has to blow you away. And not even blow you away. Like Marcus Mariota did in that one game he came in, right? That was a Thursday night game against the Chargers. Or like Fitzmagic does every time they put him in. I think you need to see a performance like that.
Who is, because that's overstated from coaches that like, well, the guy's not in our system and he doesn't know our culture and he doesn't know our plays, our practical playbook for the upcoming week. But we've also seen guys walk in off the street and get thrown in there and do decently, especially
like Mark Wahlberg.
especially in the age of like the guy can talk in your ear until the 15-second mark. You can kind of work your way around that. Who is on the street right now that would be better than this guy? As I've named him, Grayson Cunningham, Jim Cunningham's even hipper younger brother. Who is there anyone out there that's kind of like, yeah, I think I would trust him. Kurt Warner told me just 5 years ago, this is only 5 years ago. He's relatively old. He's like, oh yeah, I'm better than 15 of the starting QBs in the league. That might be a little aggressive, but could you get like, would you rather have Jay Cutler play than Wolford? I kind of would.
Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this week.
Are you serious?
I'm saying
you would rather have Jay Cutler in for the Rams.
I'm saying if I'm Sean McVay and I'm like, Jesus, I mean, we can't run that kid out there. This is a playoff game against the playoff. We can't do that. Like, who's out there? Get me my phone book of quarterbacks. Who could we get out there? I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
My answer is different if the game is in 3 weeks. But if it's, you know, in 3 days or 4 days.
Is there anyone?
None of these
reasonable?
Guys. No, I don't think so.
Kaepernick, but we're not, you know, that's the whole thing.
Eli Manning. Wouldn't you rather have Eli?
No,
than this
not in 4 days. I think there's something to taking reps with the first team and all that stuff.
I would play Jared Goff. And then if I couldn't play him, I would play my backup. I wouldn't take a guy off the street.
Yeah, I think
unless
it's
it was Mark Wahlberg, as I've said.
I think it's tough. If it's week 9 and you're making a playoff run and you want somebody for the playoffs, then it's different. But
I'm just being dumb, but I also do think, I like playing those kind of games, and I do think that guy is bad enough, Wolford, that there's got to be somebody on the street that you could plug in there and give you a better chance of winning this week.
I don't know. I don't know. But if you have Jared Goff, put him in. A healthy Jared Goff that could
Cam Newton.
Won playoff games. Cam Newton. Hey, guys, the playoffs, 6 games this weekend. God bless America.
Ooh, Joel throws out what an intriguing that? Option. Dwayne Haskins. That's the correct answer.
Wow.
You laugh.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Dwayne Haskins is the correct answer. Thank you,
Let
Joel.
Me tell you
I
something.
Would definitely rather have Dwayne Haskins than this guy with the hipster mustache. 100%. What
Why?
Are you crazy?
Compare their numbers. I bet Wolford's better. Very few numbers he's better than, but that Dwayne Haskins is one of them, I would think.
Well, haven't we agreed that Adam Gase is the reason that these QBs stink? If you put Sean McVay in his ears instead of the Washington's offense, isn't it likely that he's going to be a little bit?
I don't know.
What are we talking about? This is a dumb conversation.
It's not going to happen. Don't derail the podcast here. What is going to happen is you're going to go to FanDuel
Andrew Luck.
Right now.
Andrew Luck.
Shut up. You're going to go to FanDuel right now, and you're going to get 25-1 odds. boost on any team to win. That means you don't really have to worry about who's quarterback. Any team to win, 25-1 odds during the wild card round. That's right, 25-1. Any team, any playoff game this weekend, who would you take at 25-1? And at this point, you take the COVID Browns. Who cares who you're taking, right? Imagine taking Tampa Bay over the Washington team and you get 25-1 odds.
You're not pretty
gonna
be good. Better.
You're not going to do better than that. Don't
pretty
miss out
good.
On this exclusive offer. I've been betting on football, FanDuel all year long. It doesn't get better than this. Tampa Bay, who's another favorite? Dave, you could take the Ravens at 25-1. My God.
I mean, that's the correct pick.
$10 down gets you $250. Just don't download the FanDuel Sportsbook
app. I take the Bills.
That's a good one too. Why not? Promo code extra points so they know we sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code extra points. 25-1 odds. When I was going to college, I would have killed for something like this when I was going to college, scrounging for meals. Oh, I got 25-1 odds. I don't have to worry where my next lunch goes from. Hey, Hall of Fame. Dave, I know you like this stuff. We have some first ballot Hall of Famers. Now four players combined 33 Pro Bowl appearances in their career. Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, Jared Allen, all Hall of Fame class of 2021 finalists. There are 15 finalists. These four get in, right? As many as five will get in. I think these four get in, correct?
I guess, you know, I'm vaguely resentful always of the guys like Calvin Johnson who were anointed.
Why?
Because guys who didn't do anything yet. Again, this is the thing that I don't like is the self-validating of people who have some influence on what is upcoming still. It's the same thing as like preseason college football polls. Human beings are incented to self-validate. So if they put a team number one, but then they lose their first game, they're like, yeah, but let's keep them around. That kind of logic. Calvin Johnson was anointed a Hall of Famer before he ever played a pro football game. And it took him a while. And yeah, he's a Hall of Famer ultimately, but it's not like he was so prohibitively dominant during his career. He definitely had an all-time great stretch. But anyway, yes, fine.
No, Calvin you Johnson talk to go, the cornerbacks. They say he was virtually uncoverable, right?
Yeah. True, and
put the numbers up there.
True, but I also, and that's perhaps the best measure of all. But
yeah,
Torrey Holt is a weirdly outstanding name that every time I see it, I'm like, Torrey Holt, how is he not in the Hall of Fame? It's really crazy. Talk about the guy. Talk to his peer group. The guys that were playing against Torrey Holt in his prime, ask them who the best receiver in football was. It's crazy that Torrey Holt's not in the Hall of Fame. Just rando name, though, that is also weird that's not in the Hall of Fame when you check his numbers is Ricky Waters. He was great. The thing people remember about him is that he alligator-armed a ball in Philadelphia, but look what he did in Seattle, Philly, and San Francisco. He was dominant everywhere he went. It's very strange. The numbers make him a Hall of Famer. So what's the holdout on that one? If you don't
know, we could go through the history. Yes, there have been snubs along the way, but let's focus on these 15 names. I think those four get in. Jared Allen was in one of the Jackass movies, for God's sakes. He needs to get in. I think
he's also
those four
really
get
good
in.
At golf.
Do you guys? Yeah, he's very good at golf. Is there a fifth?
Reggie Wayne has to go.
Tony Boselli, Leroy Butler, Alan Faneca, Torrey Holt, the aforementioned, John Lynch, Clay Matthews Jr., Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, and Reggie Wayne. You think Reggie
Lambeau
Wayne?
Lambeau Leaper, Leroy Butler belongs in the Hall of Fame based on how he was measured with postseason awards and obviously the success that he was a part of belongs in there. But Reggie Wayne, I'll stand up for because, again, a major difference between a lot of the guys that are in the conversation for who's the best quarterback of all time. A big cut point is who did they play with? As I always will point out, John Elway until at least the late stages of his career and Dan Marino for the entirety of his career, those guys weren't throwing to anybody. Peyton Manning really benefited, and it was not random. He willed that to happen as he started to get more and more influence, as the guys in the building will tell you, that that's how they constructed the team. he had to be surrounded by great talent, whether it was Marshall Faulk early to Edge James and then Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And then he moves to Denver for the next stage, and he was loaded with talent there as well. Reggie Wayne is a little slept on because of Marvin Harrison and who's the passenger and who's the driver. But Reggie Wayne was dominant throughout. He's not a splashy,
but he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. Holt or Reggie Wayne for that fifth
spot? I'm going Reggie Wayne because I'm trying to manage the glut at the position. We must, as the manager in Canton, I must tend to business. And we got to get Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne in there. And in fact, I would even say they have to go in before you put Calvin Johnson in.
That's crazy. You're talking, no, there's no way. There's no way numbers-wise or talk about presence and everything else. And you want to put Matt Stafford
presence is one thing. Well, the numbers are different. Reggie Wayne's numbers are better. Without looking, I'm going to say that he has better numbers.
He also has a first ballot Hall of Famer throwing to him. So you could say whatever you want. Who needs who? But that has to account for something.
Touche.
Right. Charlotte, do you have a fifth?
Let's go Reggie Wayne. You know what?
It's only the four that were listed. Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt. They could wait a little. John Lynch has been on for 8 years. No. I'm saying no across the board. I know people make a case for Tony Boselli. No.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just going to say. As I say, I'm not so pretentious that I pretend that I know who leans good. The offensive linemen, though, who if you talk to them, who do understand it, I mean, to them, Tony Boselli is borderline God. They think he's the greatest. And it's weird because he didn't play very long, and yet they still will say, he still is as good a left tackle ever. Yeah, I mean, they'll go on and on with all their measurements for why he's so good. So fine, but also Alan Faneca. Is that guy too? So I guess, right. But I just can't weigh in on offensive linemen. So I'll just defer to everybody else on that one.
There you go.
I think you're right. So who's your guy then? So who'd you say?
No, I say no. It was a trick question. There's only four.
Nobody gets in. It's only
just
four.
I think it gets watered down. I'm fine with those four.
Before 69 got saturated.
Whoa, Dave, this is a family podcast.
Right? I think Jared Allen deserves. I mean, like before every wiseacre on a high school football team threw 69 on, Jared Allen was the OG for that.
That's true.
For that, he deserves an award.
I agree. I hope he brings that up in his speech too.
Thank you. He also, I've talked to him about this. He sits up in trees and drops spears down on the beasts. Like, whoa, that's weird behavior.
You know, think Calvin Johnson could do that? I think he can.
He could catch
it. It's a little weird. You
know, I see Peyton with a crossbow.
Oh, yeah. From an airplane.
Yeah.
NHL.
Jerry Jones' helicopter.
Hockey starts next week. U.S. junior hockey team beat the Canadiens 2-0 yesterday. That's a big win. Sorry about that, Bonetta. But the big news in the NHL is they're having sponsored divisions. Dave, I know you're not going to like this.
No, you know.
North Division, the Honda West Division, the Discover NHL Central Division, and the Mass Mutual NHL East Division.
Now, I'm sorry. That's good. Mass Mutual.
You like
NHL.
Mass Mutual?
Are you kidding? That's an amazing name.
That's a Mass Mutual NHL East.
That is the lamest, most beautiful sports thing I've ever heard.
This is terrible. I know what you're going to say, Dave. You like the original divisions, and as soon as they change that, you didn't care, but we're getting into dangerous territory here. I agree.
Listen, I see where this is headed. I have to pick my battles. I can't rage against. You've seen if you ever watch European hockey, it's with the nature of the uniforms. Like basketball, there's only so much surface area to blanket them in ads, but the hockey players in Europe look just ridiculous. I mean, they just look.
Yeah.
They look like
NASCARs. That's what we're heading towards.
I know.
Hold on.
What am I going to do?
Division.
I agree.
Well, what are you going to do? Maybe we start
Spaghetti can't do anything. Spaghetti and I can't do anything about it. There's nothing
either
one of us can do about it.
They were so crippled financially that they have to do this. I mean, it'll go divisions first, and then it'll go teams, and then the players will have to sell their names. But it'll be
Mass Mutual's Dan O'Chara.
Yeah.
Oh, the Penguins announced that they're wearing a PPG sticker on their helmets this year. I mean, it's
wearing
going
is
that way.
One thing. Where you're not
it'll
gonna get
be the guaranteed
that.
Rates.
NBA, right. They're going to have the ads on their uniforms. But if you're forced to call the Boston Bruins, the Bank of America Bruins, or the Minute Maid Maple Leafs.
It would be the Dunkin' Bruins.
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins.
I'd be okay with that. I was going for
the alliteration, but this is not good.
Isn't not that what Chivas is? I don't know enough about it. Isn't that what in soccer, aren't the Chivas teams, isn't that a brand?
Or I think so. Well, there was a Red Bull, right? The Red Bulls.
Yeah,
the New York stuff. Red Bulls.
All yeah, it all stuff. Stinks. I mean, I New hate Jersey? It. But I also hate, too, and you're right, I do hate that Gary Bettman or whomever, whatever it was 10, 15 years ago, was like, hockey's not relatable because we have divisions called the Patrick and the Smythe. And so we have to make it more relatable. So let's just go Eastern Conference and Metropolitan Division. Like, oh, now I'm interested in hockey. I think I'll check it out. It's the most absurd logic I've heard since people might be inspired by the Washington Bullets. Like, I'm not interested in gunplay, but my basketball team is named Bullets. Right. I think I'm going to go get a Glock now is the dumbest leap that there is. I don't want to live in the rearview mirror. I want to move forward. And that's why I want to go back to the future a little bit by honoring some legends. Instead of these things, let's go Lemieux Division. Let's go Orr Division. Let's go Gordie Howe Division. And then I don't care. You pick the fourth legend that you want. I don't care. Messier, Crosby, McDavid.
This is tough.
Gretzky had some big years. I mean, whoever you
Dwayne
want.
Dwayne Haskins, maybe. Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins, oh, right? Man, Sam Bradford. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. What are we going to do? Nothing we can do about it.
Jake,
I can't believe there's nothing anyone could do about it. And they have to put a stop to it at some point. I get it. It's money. It fuels all these leagues and everything. But
something I don't understand is, isn't there so much money?
Well, now that that's political, like, now that the latest where this political, all the election season is now, I think, officially once and for all wrapped
never
up.
Never official, where are they gonna, never ever
I just
official.
Feel like there are all these rich where, people where I'm yeah, like, why can't right. all the rich people just like give money to make the yeah. movies and, you know, make sure that the sports keep going and like give everybody health care. Like,
step up, rich people.
You know?
Maybe that is the new answer. You maybe are right. Maybe there it should just be like, listen, who
did
are you
I just describe
here?
Socialism?
Now, maybe yes, you're did. Right, though. Maybe you're right, though. That it's like, listen, the new measure is if you want to buy a sports franchise, like, do you have enough money that you don't right. have to do this pathetic thing? Because that's embarrassing.
Exactly.
And then it's a way of shaming the teams that don't have enough money. It's like, look at you. How pathetic. That's what you're wearing. You're wearing a big Burger King on your jersey. Like, how disgraceful. You know, like, imagine,
I think and it sucks. And it's going to suck to the ear, too, because I think if the broadcasters, if you're watching SportsCenter and you see, like, you know, the Penguins are in first in the Mass Mutual NHL East of it, if you hear that, that's going to drive
it.
You crazy. You talk about burning calories, wasting seconds of your life. That's bad. That's bad. The Mass Mutual NHL East Division, we're going to have to hear that over and over, and it's going to be a real thing. No,
you know
what's going
to be the worst?
Yeah.
Is when we get used to it. When it feels normal.
That's what happens. That's what ends up happening. The Weed Whacker Bowl was funny until it was just like, oh, yeah, it's the Weed Whacker Bowl. We're going to that one.
Oh,
yeah,
they'll name it after dating apps, the Bumble Division, the J-Date Division.
Oh, my God, that
the
would be the
on.
Farmers Only Division. The
Ray Lewis MVP Trophy Division. That's really dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
We have a lot of renaming to do. We have a lot of renaming that has to go away. I think we covered a lot in this hour. Charlotte, what's going on with you? You're at the Wilder Things.
I am. I'm at the Wilder Things, and we have a very cool thing happening on tonight and tomorrow. Mark Titus and I, for the People Sports Podcast, are hosting an NFL on Fox awards ceremony, which will be on TV, if you can believe it.
Nice.
On FS1 tomorrow after college football game that I can't remember, which I really should have written down.
This
and
is
then
a great
on,
promo for that.
Yeah, thanks. And then on Friday at 5:30 Eastern, it'll be on FS1.
Beautiful.
It'll be really fun. I'm psyched about that. So as always, I'm at the Wilder Things and, it'll also be live streamed. So,
are they your awards, or who's giving the awards?
We've got Troy Aikman's giving some awards. We've got a few players accepting them, which should be fun.
But are they fun? Are they funny awards? Are they legit?
A lot of them are legit, and then Mark and I are giving out our own silly ones.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Can you tell us who's going to win the Bank of America Northeast Division Award, or is that's a secret?
Yes, that's Cam Newton.
Okay, good. All right, that makes sense. That actually probably does make sense. All right, she's at the Wilder Things. Dave, at Damashek on Twitter.
You should have two final people, like only two finalists for the award, and have them drag race to see who gets the award.
No. Mark and I have to drag race to decide who wins.
I like
perfect.
It.
-3 coming at you, obviously. Big wild card round preview coming at you, plus national title game, plus hockey season. Tune in for that. We have a good guest lined up for you on -3 coming at you this week. And also don't miss History of Swear Words on Netflix. I watched the episode about the F word, and it was very entertaining, as I expected.
Oh, let's watch that on Netflix, right? Just out this week.
Yes. Just went up there yesterday.
Can't wait.
By the way, Dave, I don't want to, that's a Television Plus. I don't want to get you leave on a downer, but Caillou is canceled.
What?
Caillou
is canceled.
Don't
people hate Caillou?
People do hate Caillou. Apparently, some people hate him enough that he's off PBS Kids. Was it PBS Kids? He's gone.
Well, Caillou and Sean McDermott couldn't be allowed to exist both on the planet Earth at the same time. It makes
Caillou's
sense.
Only hope now is to win Coach of the Year award right there. All right, Dave's at Damashek. I'm at the Cousin Sal. And I just want to remind you, even though you may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites. Question mark?